fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. Oh, that was really weak. Happy Sabbath to all of you. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But let us have a word of prayer as we study the Word of God together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for the gift of life. We invite your presence today as we study the Word of God and as we talk about a subject that is important to you, may it be important to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's exhortation is The Race of Faith. That's right, brother. The Race of Faith. Whenever you think about what are the most important words somebody has to say, sometimes we say the last words of a person are probably some of the most important things they have to say about their life. I went through here looking at some of the most famous last words of individuals that have gone through life, and for the sake of time, I've only gathered about four famous people from different walks of life. One of them was a man by the name of Frank Sinatra. His last words were, "I am losing. I am losing." Another man who's quite famous was the man by the name of Benjamin Franklin. Can anybody guess his last words? He said, "A dying man can do nothing easy." Another one, and his last words, was another man by the name of Bob Marley. Bob Marley, and this last words before he died, he said, "Money can't buy life. Money can't buy life." The last one that I thought was interesting was a man that a lot of the world was actually celebrating was Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson's last words were, "I need more milk," as his doctor was overdosing him. "I need more milk." But when you think about it, what will be the last words to you and my life? I don't know what it is, but Paul, if you asked him what his last words would be, we could find them in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Let's go to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. In the book of Timothy, Paul writes these words. 2 Timothy chapter 7 and verse 8. Some of his last words, if you were to think about it. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have done what, my friends? I have kept the faith." Verse 8. He uses the words there, he said, "Finally, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not of me only, but also of all who have loved his appearing.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. The race of faith is a race that all of us are running. But what is interesting about Paul that he says here, he says that he has, looking at verse 7, it says, I have fought, what kind of fight, my friends? A good fight. A good fight. In order to fight a good fight, you must fight for something worth fighting for. Many of us today, we are fighting fights we were never meant to fight. We are carrying burdens we were never meant to carry. We're living lives we were never meant to live. The world today, we are fighting all sorts of fight. But the question is, are we fighting the right fight? Whenever Paul looked at his life, he could say at the end of his days, I have fought a good fight. It has a dual meaning to it. Maybe one is the cause for which he fought was good, or maybe the way how he fought was a good way of fighting. No matter what it is, we know for sure that the fight that he was fighting for in verse 7 was the fight to keep the faith. To keep the faith. The fight of faith, or the race of faith, is the fight worth having. Amen? It is a battle worthy to be enlisted in. Because there are all types of fights in this world. As a matter of fact, in just a matter of 3 weeks, it feels like there's another fight about to happen. There are all sorts of things happening around the world, but we must ensure that we are fighting the right type of fight. And if you ever want to know what the right type of fight is, it is the fight for the faith. More specifically, looking at verse 8, this is the faith that Paul is fighting for, the faith which he has poured his life in. And when you think about the life of Paul, it was a life that was full. It was a life that was filled with all sorts of turns, challenges. Everything you could think that a man could face, Paul faced a lot of those things. But there was one thing about his faith that he held unto that he longed for. In verse 8, he says, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have done what, my friends? Loved his appearing. In other words, Paul was a Seventh-day Adventist. That's right. And the thing that he believed was the second coming of Jesus Christ. It was this belief that Jesus would come again that gave him the power to fight the fight of faith, to live a life that was surrendered to Jesus because he knew that one day Jesus would come. I want to tell you, my big friends and my little friends, the life we live today matters. But what even matters most is who are we living this life for? Am I living this life for me or for Jesus? It makes the world a difference for us to settle this question. Because if this question is never settled in our hearts, we won't fight the right fight. For Paul, he fought for the faith. And the faith in a crucified, risen, and living Savior who is coming again. I don't know about you, I don't know about me at times, but I want to be sure that I also am keeping this faith. That Jesus will come again, amen? That you and I are not just going through life, just to go through life, but we are going through life to live for the afterlife. And the way how we mold our life, the choices that we make, will make a difference for the life to come. The people we marry, the careers we choose, whatever it is in this life, are we living it for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? My young friends, you've gone through a whole week of learning about Jesus. But you know, the most important thing about Jesus is that he loves you. And he wants to come back again for you. Live your life for Jesus. You might say, well, Pastor Mo, that sounds very simple. I've heard that all my life. No, I tell you, it is what is most important. Live your life for who, my friends? For Jesus. Because however you live your life, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. On one hand, you'll have the devil fighting for you, not because he loves you, but because he wants to destroy you. You'll also have the world fighting for you, for your attention, for your resources, not because it necessarily cares for you. It just wants you to be part of the world. You'll have all types of fights in your life, but make sure you are fighting the right type of fight. Because only you can choose which fight you will fight. Whenever you go through life, for Paul, as he thought about it all, he says, I have fought a good fight, and I have done what, my friends? I have finished the race. What is important about the race of faith is not how you begin, it is how you finish. When you think about Paul, he did not start the race too well. As a matter of fact, part of his life, he was trying to kill people who were running the race. He was doing all sorts of things that were not right, but God found him, and when he found Jesus for himself, he finished well. There are some of you here today in this congregation that you did not start your race well. There are many things in our lives that we don't have control, even how we start the race. For example, did you have a choice where you were to be born? No, I did not have a choice to be born in Antananarivo, Madagascar. I did not even choose which color I would have. To this day, I don't even know what color I am. You know, you could look at my kids and, you know, there's something there. I don't know. I did not choose this to be this way. But I can choose how I finish the race.
Yeah.
And you can choose how you finish the race. Maybe you came from a home that was not stable. Maybe you came from a home where there was only one parent. Or you even had no parents that you had to be taken care of by a caretaker. But whoever you are, from whatever journey you are, you can finish the race well. For if Paul could finish the race, a murderer, and he could say at the end of his life, I have finished the race, then we can finish the race. Because the thing about running the race is that whoever enters the race will always be able to finish the race if they keep moving. We had a Bible study this morning with one of the individuals we're studying the Bible. And we talked a little bit about perfection. You know, for Seventh-day Adventists, the word perfection can be a scary word. But I like the way how the Bible describes perfection, because perfection, really, if you had to put it down to one word, It is the word grow. Grow. Ellen G. White, in the book Steps to Christ, Christ Object Lessons, compares it to a plant, a flower, where every stage of it is perfect, as long as it's growing. For example, a five-year-old is perfect for a five-year-old, right? But what happens if a 70-year-old acts like a five-year-old? That is not well, right? So it is with us. Every stage of our walk, as long as we're keeping in the race and growing in Christ, every stage is perfect. As long as we keep going and as long as we keep staying with Jesus Christ, we will make it. Amen? We can have the confidence. You might say, well, Pastor Mo, where do you see that? Well, let's look at the Word of God. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I want to make sure I give you the right verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. What does the Bible say there, my friends? It says, being what? Confident. As Seventh-day Adventists, sometimes we lack confidence in our salvation. We lack confidence that God can finish the work that He started. We lack confidence in knowing that God is able to give us the victory over our besetting sins. We lack confidence that God is able to give us victory in our lives. As if sin was stronger than love. But God says this, my friends, being confident in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will do what? Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Is that the word of God? Yes, but notice the key here. Who is the one that works in us? It is Christ in you. Running the race of faith requires Jesus Christ to be in us. Any one of us who think we can run the race of faith and finish the race of faith, we will burn out. We'll be frustrated. We'll become jealous. We would develop an attitude that is not of gratitude. We would become bitter, and we will discourage the saints. But if Christ is in us, we will finish the race. The race of faith is not just about running or engaging in the race. It is staying with Jesus to the end. Jesus is the one that we can never let go of. Whenever we are thinking about it, whenever Paul was thinking about it towards the end of his life, he fought the good fight because he had Jesus by his side. And as long as Jesus was with him, what else could he fear? But I also want to talk about something else, and this is where you're going to help me, my friends. Four practical things for us to make sure we are staying in the race. Because my little friends and my big friends, there are many people who start the race and stop the race. Some, they're people that maybe even taught you in class, who taught you about Jesus, and then you realize they're no longer with Jesus. Some may be people that you looked up to, but they're no longer running the race. So I want to give you these four things so that whatever happens in your life, you will always stay the course. The first one is found in Psalm 141 and verse 8. It says, "My eyes are upon you, O God." Here is the first principle, practical principle. Focus on Jesus by spending time with Him. Right? The more you spend time with someone, the more you will fall in love with them. The more you spend time with someone, the more you will fall in love with them. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will love Him. Amen? So principle number one, spend time with Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The second principle, how to stay the course, is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press towards the goal for the prize. Here's the principle number two. There is a reward for running the race. And the reward is not only when you finish the race. The reward is right now. And what is that reward? It is something that is better than gold. It is a character like Jesus. For those of you who hire people, you can hire somebody with a lot of skill, but if they don't have a good character, it's going to be problems. Whenever you desire to press towards the goal, towards the prize, God is moving and changing your character to become just like Jesus. And that is the best reward. So, my friends, press towards the prize. God will reward you in time. Principle number three, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. By the way, extra credit for you, don't start drinking. I remember one day I was clearing four young people for baptism. And we were talking about alcohol. And I could see one of them was looking at me as if, "Pastor, you just don't want us to have fun." I was telling them, "Please, you know, alcohol is not a good thing," and everything like that. And I prayed to the Lord, "Lord, help them to understand how important this is." Now, you got to be careful what kind of prayers you ask for. Because 10 minutes right after we were done with the Bible study and clearing them, a car ran into the church. Ran right into the wall. And guess what the guy was doing? He drank alcohol. Now, it was a $90,000 expense lesson for that prayer. But I can tell you, those young people, they never forgot that. Drinking is not good. But here is Daniel, and as Daniel looked at things, he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart to do the right thing. My friends, purpose in your heart to do the right thing. You and I will always have a choice. We'll have a choice how we react. Or who do we let inside of our heart? We might not have a choice about many things in life, but we always have a choice how we're going to react and what are we going to do about it. For Daniel, he did not have a choice to go to Babylon. He did not have a choice to be there, faced with the decree that Nebuchadnezzar had for all the young men that were there. He did not have a choice, but he had one choice. Actually, two choices. And the choice he made is that he would not defile himself, whatever happened. Now you got to understand that Babylon, it was a pagan place filled with temptations. It was a place where a lot of people did not even know him. Some of us sometimes, when we go to situations where people don't know us, we act a different way. Daniel was there. He was in a place where not a lot of people knew him. They did not know much about him, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Amen? And when you and I purpose in our heart to do the right thing, God will always help you. Make a decision today, right now, my friends, to not defile yourself with the things of the world. You might say, well, I'm only 6 years old. 6 years old is pretty old. You don't believe it? Ask yourself. A six-year-old feels that they know the world. A six-year-old, you make big decisions. But one of the best decisions you can make is to not defile yourself with the things of the world. And lastly, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race of faith will take a commitment. It won't be an easy race, but we can run with endurance. How? As long as we stay with Jesus. He will be our strength, and we will finish the race. The last verse was found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, and it says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. That has overcome the world, our faith. Let's suppose there was a fire in the upper section of a house. As the people gathered in the street below, they noticed that there was a child seen at the window of a room right next to the fire. The fire trucks could only get there in about 5 minutes. And the fire was raging. How will the child escape? Now suppose that in the neighborhood lives a large man, well known for his strength and athletic ability, and he arrives at the scene and shouts to the child, "Drop into my arms, don't be afraid, I will catch you." It is one part of faith for the child to know that the man is there. It is another part of faith to believe that the man is strong enough and able to catch him. But the essence of faith lies in him dropping down into the arms of the man. My friends and family, I am telling you today, the world is on fire. And right next to us are the closing scenes of Earth's history. We don't have a fire truck coming for us. We have one person who claims that he will catch us. But his name is Satan. We know who he is. As soon as we jump, he's not going to catch us. He's going to love seeing us crash. But he keeps still says, jump, I will catch you, jump. And some of us in our lives, we started jumping, thinking that if we followed what he said, we will be safe. We will have the most pleasure, the best life, the best things in life if we just jumped into the arms of Satan. But Satan is not looking to catch anybody. He wants to destroy everybody. But then there's someone else who also says, jump
and I will catch you.
But when he extends his arms, they're nailed, pierced arms. And on each arm is inscribed your name. He has never failed. He's always on time. And he says, jump. You and I have a choice. Who do we jump to? But the world is on fire. And it is burning hotter and hotter. And we cannot be there and say, which one am I going to pick? Let me take my time and analyze. And let me take my time and just stay in the house. We must jump. But I don't know about you, I want to jump into the arms of Jesus Christ. Because my name is in the palms of his hand. Is there anything today, my friends, that will keep you from joining a good fight for Jesus? Is there anything in the world that is better than being with the one who loves you most? And who, if you stay with him, even if death comes our way, it cannot rip us from the hands of God. Is there anything in this life that is better than following the one who will be there every step of the way? Is there anything in this life better than Jesus Christ? You and I today, we must jump. The decision must be made. We cannot wait any longer. We cannot wait any longer. We must make a choice. And today Jesus is appealing to your heart. And he's saying, sinner, come home. Come home. For he has been waiting for you ever since he made you. If it is your decision today to say, Lord, I am a sinner, I'm a great sinner, but you are a great Savior. And I want to fight the right type of fight. I want to fight the fight of faith. Then I invite you to stand with me as we say a word of prayer. And as we ask Jesus to give us the strength to keep fighting on, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our lives today. You know the deepest thoughts that we have, the deepest desires, the besetting sins. You even know the victories, Father, we would love to have, or the disappointments we would love to forget. Or maybe for some, Father, we have walked with you for a long time, and maybe we have gotten tired of fighting. Lord, you know us, and at this time, you tell us, my child, rest in my arms. I got you. May our greatest fight be that of just staying with Jesus. May we stay with you, Father, and never let you go, so that as we go from faith to faith, we shall see you face to face. And Lord, today we pray a special prayer of deliverance, that you will give us victories over the sins in our lives, that you will break the power of sin, which is our desire for it, and give us a hatred for that which is evil, and a love for that which is good. Renew us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that when you come back, all that you will see in us is you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.